Jeff? Where is Jeff? So we're actually going to do the Rose Festival at 9:30 and then the other one at 9:45. So as important as the accepting the report on Customer Service Advisory Committee, Commissioner Amanda Fritz has graciously allowed the Rose Festival to go first. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 13th, 2010. It's 9:30 a.m. This is the Portland City Council, and we will come to order. Carla, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Can you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Yep.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We'll begin with communications. We have five people signed up. Can you please read the title for communications, item number 55?
Request of Jessica D. Newton to address council regarding experience with Cascadia BMH.
Ms. Newton, are you in the room? All right. Can you please read the title for council communications, item number 56?
Request of Mike O'Callaghan to address council regarding shelterlessness.
Mr. O'Callaghan, are you in the room? All right. Can you please read the title for council communications, item number 57?
Request of Terry Lynn Vick to address council regarding Bureau of Emergency Communications and loss of job.
Ms. Vick?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Please have a seat. For everyone testifying, you only give your first and last name. We are not interested in addresses. And the clock in front of you helps you count down from 3 minutes. Please begin.
I'm ready. My name is Terry Lynn Vick. I spent 17 years as a senior dispatcher at the Bureau of Emergency Communications. Commissioner Saltzman was brilliant when he hired our director, Carl Simpson. Carl spent some time getting to know our work environment and had identified the passive-aggressive managers and senior dispatchers who made sport out of making other dispatchers' lives miserable. Just as he was about to fire and demote those that created the hostile work environment, they went running to our new commissioner to seek refuge. Commissioner Leonard, in the fall of 2005, you usurped our director's authority and allowed the bullies to remain at BOEC. Carl left within a few weeks and went on to rid Salt Lake City 911 and Denver 911 of its hostile work environment and had them fully staffed within a short period of time. Commissioner Leonard, you put the bullies in charge of BOEC, and the next year was hell. Summer of 2007, we had four senior dispatchers take early retirements due to the bullies. That spring, we had a 25-year 911 veteran have a nervous breakdown on the operations floor. We suffer from various health problems such as heart attacks, strokes, brain tumors, cancers, multiple sclerosis, and severe depression. When I asked you for a meeting on August 20th, 2007 to discuss the hostile work environment, the retaliation from management began immediately. I endured two investigations attacking my character that lasted until November of 2007, 4 months. Our contract allows 2 weeks. When I told a coworker off-duty that I wanted to quit if good faith was no longer the measure of our performance, our director, Lisa Turley, took that as a formal resignation secondhand. Our contract wasn't followed. My union told me to shut up, keep my head down, and they were going to make a deal with me to get me back to work. None of that happened. Why was I never heard? Why did you silence me about something that was so important? I paid a really high price when I asked for a meeting with you. I lost my career. I'm about to lose my house. My son had to quit college, and my chronically ill daughter has no health insurance. Commissioner Fritz, you inherited a bureau with the legacy of hostility and high turnover, costing taxpayers millions of wasted dollars. I don't think it's a cosmic coincidence that you are a psychiatric nurse. Instead of disciplining my coworkers for using sick time, I'd like you to spend some time finding out what's making them sick. People that do this work are not fodder for the machine. We are highly trained and committed individuals that do a very difficult job. Please help us. Please help me get back to work and rectify this injustice. Martin Luther King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we remain silent about things that matter." This is something that matters. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Carla, can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 58?
Request of Barry Joe Stoll to address Council regarding the Police Bureau, Multnomah County District Attorney, and Circuit Court violating his civil rights.
Mr. Stoll, welcome back.
Good morning.
I think you know the protocols.
Yes, I do. I have some information I'm going to give you all. First of all, I filed a case in 1994 in Multnomah County Circuit Court that overturned former Republican Attorney General Lee Johnson. That case, Stoll versus Hoke, has been cited by the Oregon Court of Appeals and the Oregon Supreme Court in over 70 cases. I believe you're a member of the bar. Are you still a member of the bar? Commissioner Fish can tell you that for a case to have that many cites in that period of time is really extraordinary. In 2004, I was prosecuted by the Multnomah County District Attorney for possession of marijuana. My neurologist, Robert Grimm, also is the subject of a Supreme Court case, Jennings versus Baxter Healthcare. And similar to that case, the Multnomah County District Attorney did not let Dr. Grimm testify to the jury. In the Jennings case, the Supreme Court and Court of Appeals said that he was improperly denied that. And in my case, while my appeal was pending, the State versus OMB case, which the district attorney relied on to deny my defenses under the Medical Marijuana Act, was found to be made obsolete in State versus Miles. However, my conviction was affirmed. They just simply didn't follow the law. Now, what's interesting about the Stoll versus Hoke case is it was cited by the dissenting judges in the Court of Appeals in a case finding the limits on possession under the Medical Marijuana Act are on usable marijuana, as I had argued at trial and would have argued on appeal had I not been drawn into an illegal eviction in Multnomah County Circuit Court in 2005. So the upshot is I was illegally evicted and $20,000 worth of my personal property was destroyed pending appeal of both the eviction, which was completely without merit, and also the criminal conviction, which likewise was without merit. Now, we know from the experience and the funding that's going to chase after the Mr. Chassis incident getting beaten to death by the Portland police that this city simply does not, as this previous person testified, does not recognize the civil rights of persons with disabilities. It's shameful. It's shameful. So what I have here is some information regarding my experiences, one of which was going to transition projects, which City Council funded to the tune of $243,599. And when I was a client of Transition Projects, they simply cut me loose. I filed a grievance. They simply didn't process it. That's a continuation of this government and police corruption. I have here a complaint I filed with the Oregon State Bar, and they were unable to process it because, you know, I just didn't attach enough copies of information. I did cite chapter and verse what was going on. Now, the interesting thing here is that the Court of Appeals chief judge dismissed my appeal for prosecution when I couldn't explain why it had taken so long for me to address the issues. Now,
and your time's up if you want to wrap it up.
I certainly will. Now, I didn't get this because I've had some problems with my mail at the post office box, but these pages here are the Court of Appeals events pending my appeal of a case that wasn't even legal to file, and then I said I didn't prosecute it. I did prosecute it. So we have to address as a city this ongoing police corruption. The cop who brought the charges was Jason Seri, and the city paid out $350,000 regarding his misdeeds. So I don't think I should have to suffer for that. So you have this information.
All right.
You know how to contact me. And I would like each of you, except for Ms. Fitz, to make up for the thousands of dollars in musical instruments that was illegally destroyed as my appeal of my eviction was pending. That would be a $1,000 loan from you, from Police Commissioner Salton, $1,000.
I'd let you go over. Now
and
your time is
$4,775. So she can do the $700.
Thank you. Your time is up.
All right. I shouldn't have to finance.
Take your papers or give them to Carla if you want copies. All right, that gets us to Council Communications, item number 59. Can you please read the title?
Request of Richard L. Meyer to address Council regarding Council's discriminatory behavior regarding John Ball School.
Welcome back, Mr. L. Meyer. Glad you're here.
Good morning. My name is Richard Ellmeyer. I'm a candidate for the North Portland House seat in the Democratic primary next May. On November 19th, I asked each of you to answer the following questions so that I may discuss this issue with the voters of North Portland over the coming months. One, why wasn't the Washington Monroe High School property offered to the Portland Hope Meadows Corporation? Two, why weren't advisory committees similar to those involved in the Buckman neighborhood created in the Portsmouth neighborhood to discuss and recommend potential future uses for the John Ball School site, despite requests from the Portsmouth Neighborhood Association and the ad hoc 195-member Portsmouth Residents Action Committee and the North Portland Business Association to establish such advisory committees? And three, why were the citizen requests of the Buckman neighborhood acceded to by the Portland City Council and those citizen requests of the Portsmouth, North Portland neighborhood summarily dismissed when the issue of the use of surplus Portland public school property was exactly the same? I predicted that none of you would be able to provide reasoned, defensible, satisfactory answers, and I was right. In this matter, you treat the citizens of North Portland as though we were all stupid children who wouldn't notice that you were playing favorites with Buckman's neighbors and pissing on North Portland. Well, you were wrong. We did notice, and we are angry. The Portland City Council needs to atone for its abuse of both democratic due process and the citizens of North Portland. The damning evidence of excessive political force used by the City Council in this matter is overwhelming. The City of Portland has paid large sums to compensate victims of excessive exuberance by public safety officers facing losing lawsuits. The Portland City Council has committed a similar violation of public trust and power. The Council must admit its transgression and terminate any and all agreements with the Bridge Meadows Corporation, pay any penalties for contract violations, establish an advisory committee to take testimony and recommend possible future uses for the John Ball School site. For 34 years, I have been standing up for North Portland. Winning or losing the House race will have no effect on my continuing commitment to improve the quality of life in my community. At any stage of development, I will seize every political, legislative, and legal opportunity to stop or reverse the unfair, illegitimate, discriminatory project at the John Ball School that the City Council has inexcusably and indefensively forced upon the residents of North Portland.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Ellmeyer. Appreciate it. That gets us to the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? All right. Carla, would you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. The consent agenda is approved. Can you please read the title for time certain item number 61?
Declare the Rose Festival the official festival of the City of Portland.
And I am pleased to recognize the commissioner in charge of being the liaison to the Rose Festival, Randy Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and welcome all of you to Portland City Hall, the cradle of Portland's democracy and where it's clear free speech is alive and well.
And it is every Wednesday morning.
And if you have nothing going on in your lives, Wednesday morning is certainly an entertaining day at City Hall, so you're always welcome to come. I am going to introduce the executive director here in a moment, but I first want to recognize and have the entire council recognize our honored guest, Governor Vic Catia, who's amongst us. Just one second. I just wanted to acknowledge your presence. You're going to be called in due order, Governor. He's still the politician. He sees the microphone and he's ready to go. That's good. I want to first, however, introduce the executive director of the Portland Rose Festival, Jeff Curtis, who is a man I've worked closely with for the past few years on an array of issues. And what Jeff has done has guided the Rose Festival into what I think is probably one of the most vibrant Rose Festivals the city's ever seen, and certainly one of the best in the United States, if not the best in the United States. I have great confidence in Jeff and his leadership, and have enjoyed very much partnering with him, as has the entire council. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and commissioners. As you can see, I brought a few friends with me. You know, this is, I get a chance to visit with you and discuss various topics related to the Rose Festival, but today I'm going to walk you through and have some guests come and speak on behalf of the Rose Festival. I want to certainly thank the many great people that have showed up, our friends and partners, and our fans of the Rose Festival that are here in force today to show their support of the Portland Rose Festival. On behalf of the Rose Festival, I want to thank you, the City Council, for the opportunity to be in front of you today. This is an historic moment. We've been calling it 103 years in the making, and we're here today. I've asked several people to come up and speak and say a few words about the Rose Festival and the significance on various pieces. The first gentleman I want to introduce is a well-known voice in our region, a man with a long connection to the festival, for years of hosting the Key Bank Red Flannel Parade, as well as the Queen's Coronation. Some might call him, and sometimes, the voice of the Rose Festival. He's also wrote a book in 1996 called For You, A Rose in Portland Grows. This man knows a lot about the history of our festival and a lot about our community. I want to introduce Mr. Mike Donahue. Mike.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. President, commissioners, when you research the history of the Rose Festival, as I did, you also discover the history of Portland, because the two are intertwined. Allow me to take you back 105 years. Portland's World's Fair, the Lewis and Clark Exposition, was just coming to a very successful conclusion. By one estimate, there were 2.5 million visitors here during that summer. City leaders like yourself of that day were discussing how they could keep the nation's attention on Portland, and more importantly, how to keep the people and the money and the trade coming to this city as well. They wanted to put their, you might say, put their city on the map and distinguish it from that other Portland, the more famous one on the East Coast. So they decided that Portland, Oregon, well, at that time it was. Not anymore. They decided that Portland needed a moniker, a symbol, something to represent it and set it apart. Clipper ships were kind of going out of style in those days. And many of Portland's characteristics were already taken by other cities, but not the Rose, which was being admired by these visitors in the grand and colossal agriculture building. So on the last day of that World's Fair, Mayor Harry Kane christened Portland the Rose City, and he proposed a festival of roses to celebrate it. 2 years later, on a, I don't know why, a Thursday in June, 2,000 grade school children marched to the head of the first Rose Parade. By 1910, coincidentally, if maybe not coincidentally, Portland's population had increased by 100,000 people. That exposition earned the city $130,000, and Mayor Lane gave a portion of those proceeds to Rose hobbyist and editor of the Oregon Journal, Jesse Curry. He used that money to buy some land in what is now Washington Park, and he planted a rose garden. And he and the mayor wrote letters to rose growers around the world, inviting them to send their hybrids here to Portland to protect them from the bombs of World War I. That rose garden was immediate success, as was the Rose Festival, and the rose stuck as the symbol of Portland. So let me rush forward to the early 1950s, when a Rosarian by the name of Donald Sloan decided he wanted to put Portland on the world map. So in public and private ceremonies, he planted peace roses, which were grown here in Portland's International Test Garden, in the European gardens of kings and queens, the Pope, and prime ministers. So when tourists would read the plaque in front of the rose that Sloan had planted at Buckingham Palace, they would ask the royal gardener, "Which Portland is that?" And he would reply, "The Portland with the roses, of course." So today, Washington Park gardeners care for more than 400 of the nearly 20,000 varieties of roses. And I think it's that diversity that qualifies the rose as a symbol of Portland. a city which makes the same promises to every new citizen who decides to plant themselves and bloom here. Each one is valuable, each one is worthy of respect and admiration, and each one's individual fragrance will be given every opportunity to be discovered and to be appreciated. Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time to join us. You know, the Rose Festival's reach goes far beyond Portland. Around the region and across the country, that rose grows, and the festival is widely known as an international festival. We've had an impact since 1907 to bring people to the state of Oregon, not just Portland. And this is a great state we live in, represented by a lot of great people. And the Rose Festival is very proud to be the largest event in the state, one of the largest events in the United States. But it's my great privilege to introduce and bring up Governor Victor Atiyah to speak a little bit about the state as well as the Royal Rosarians. Governor?
Welcome to the City Council, Governor. Glad you're here.
Thank you. When I would have my staff and we're dealing with various issues down in Salem, and then when the point was made, and they would keep on talking, and I say, "Now, whoa, 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 don't over-fertilize." Well, I'm sorry to tell you we're going to over-fertilize this morning. I was born and raised in Portland. My home is now a Max stop, 7th and Holiday Street on the east side. I, as a Boy Scout, was one of those that would walk with the floats. As time moved around along, my brother joined the Royal Rosarians and ultimately became Prime Minister. My wife was the chaperone of the 73 Court. It seems almost amazing that the idea of officially declaring the Rose Festival as the Portland Rose Festival. We always took it for granted. And it worked, and we got volunteers, but wouldn't it be marvelous to have it officially say that's what it is? So that's why I'm here, to encourage it. And I hope that my remembrance and so many other Oregonians, they have great memories. Fixing the floats, building the floats, watching the floats, sometimes not getting the spot they wanted where they wanted to sit.
Oh, let's not get into that.
Just show up early.
I shouldn't do that too.
The time's up.
I even recall a Rose Festival parade when Mount St. Helens just the day before or 2 days before blew, and the dust came in our direction, and so the parade kept going, and it was a messy parade, but we made it and people were happy. So this is a happy day for you and for all those folks that are here. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Atiyah. Since 1930, the Rose Festival has annually chosen a young woman from Portland high schools to serve as the festival's most prominent ambassadors. The Rose Festival Court is one of our most traditional programs, but it's one that has captivated the hearts and minds of Portlanders for over 80 years. Last year, for the first time, as we evolve our court program, we included a princess from the metro area, from Tigard High School. But the Rose Festival Court has been recognized many times by the International Festival Events Association for more than just being a princess in Portland, as one of the best community outreach and education programs in our industry across the globe. These Rose Festival princesses do so much for our community. These young women work hard on behalf of the Rose Festival and on behalf of the city. They make appearances all over and do a lot of great things in our community, including making volunteer commitments across the great state. And we're working with, across the city, and we're working with Commissioner Fish this year about expanding that a little bit to do more on the volunteer side. But the Rose Festival Court and its princesses are are truly a gem of the Rose Festival. This morning, I'm joined with royalty, Queen Rachel, Rachel Seaman, who has already been serving a lot to our community. She's made over 20 appearances since being selected past June. She went over to Pendleton and represented the city at the Pendleton Roundup. And next month, she'll be heading over to Kaohsiung, Taiwan, with our sister city association to formally represent Portland at Kaohsiung. So I'm going to turn it over to Queen Rachel to say a few words.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. It was a thrill for me to be chosen last year to represent Grant High School on the Rose Festival Court, and then to become the first queen from our school in 43 years. Due to the changes the Rose Festival made in the court program, I had the chance to do so as a junior, which made it possible for me to return to Grant this year and to share my experience with my fellow students who helped prepare me for this unbelievable experience. The school is a Portland tradition. The court is a Portland tradition, and it's an important one at the high school level. It helps inspire young women to be good students, to perform community service, and to be leaders in and around their communities. While serving on the court, we learn more about the city. We have the opportunity to meet people from all over the region and to network with notable people like the mayor and the governor. We are each assigned our own mentors from Pacific Power, executive women who have a wealth of experience and advice to share. And when we're finished, thanks to the festival and its generous partners like the Randall Group, we have scholarship dollars that we can use to help continue our education. This is something the Rose Festival has provided young women since the beginning of the court program, in the days that it was rare for women to be encouraged to go to college. The court program is organized and overseen by dozens of volunteers who spend hours making sure that we have a positive experience. I can't thank the festival and its boards and supporters enough for the time and effort that they give. I'm proud to represent the Rose Festival, and I want to thank the City of Portland and all of you for your support of this great Portland tradition and for your recognition of the organization that works so hard to keep it meaningful and relevant. Thank you.
Thank you, Queen Rachel, for taking time away from school to be here this morning. I also want to thank your parents for allowing us and trusting us to take good care of you as you're away from the classroom and be here with us today. So thank you very much, Queen Rachel. You know, as she mentioned, it takes thousands of volunteers to produce this celebration called the Rose Festival. You know, what some people don't realize is that the Rose Festival Foundation works year-round to plan its programs, raise the necessary funds, and plan the events. And no one gives more dedicated service than a 75-member board of directors, volunteers in our community that dedicate the time and have to go to all the meetings and be on the streets of Portland to serve and produce our events. So since we were incorporated since 1907, this board has done great things and left a legacy with this city. So I'd like to formally recognize those from the Rose Festival Board of Directors wearing the blue blazers here today. I want to thank them for their dedicated service and being with us today. Thank you very much. Next, I want to introduce a gentleman who's no stranger to City Hall. You probably recognize him. You probably know him. He had my job for 10 years, Dick Clark. I have a great admiration for that. He did a great job in being a steward of this festival, and that's how I look at my job, as being a good steward and lead this great organization forward. And so I'd like Dick to come up and say a few words. Dick is now the director of the St. Vincent Foundation in Portland. So, Dick, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. Mayor, commissioners, it's good to be back. I'm glad he has the job, though.
Welcome back. Glad you're here.
I support this motion because the Rose Festival, for all of us, is one of Portland's constants. It's really what helps define Portland. I think we can count on the Rose Festival to trigger unabashed laughter from our children, to help us start tapping our toes and clapping our hands when the bands go down the street. And even on a gray Portland day, help us to pause and smell the roses. Equally, I think the Rose Festival is a celebration when we need a little bit of cheer in our lives on some of those dreary days. Through the last 100 years, and Mike Donohue spoke about this, and Governor Attia, Portland's experienced some tumultuous challenges. War times, social unrest, Mount St. Helens eruptions, depressions, recessions. And during each of those times, the Rose Festival has sprung to life each spring to provide a time of celebration and distraction for this community. During my tenure at the Rose Festival, I saw this transformation from despair to optimism several times. That was the spirit of what was happening on the days after September 11, 2001. While this country and the world mourned the losses from that tragic morning, Rose Festival volunteers and staff assembled to keep planning some form of celebration for that following spring. The reasoning was very simple. Portland and the region, we knew, would need a symbol of optimism so that we would know the world would go on and we would be okay. The festival leaders at that time and the 5,000 volunteers planned a tribute to this great country that provided hope for future generations. If you remember, some of the highlights of that 2002 Rose Festival was Miss America Katie Harmon from Gresham, Oregon, singing graceful and soulful songs about the beauty of this country. The U.S. Navy fleet still came to Portland under tight restrictions and still welcomed Portlanders to come and see the ships. And a group of New York firefighters were one of the central characters in the Grand Floral Parade and were treated to standing ovations along the route. All of these parts came together in one special moment for myself and many others when Miss America, the firefighters, and the Navy personnel stood on the back of one of the flagships on the Willamette River. The gathering culminated when one of the New York firefighters presented the ranking admiral with a chunk of the World Trade Center in a glass box. The firefighter said he was passing on a symbolic piece of history that would ideally motivate all of us to remember our past and strive for a better future. I believe this tender moment, this snapshot of the Rose Festival, was part of our nation's healing process. And the Rose Festival was the reason for the gathering. The Rose Festival has been that special time for our forefathers, and I think it will be that special time for future generations to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dick.
Thanks, Dick. You know, Dick reminded us of the important role the Rose Festival plays after the terrible events of 9/11 and the Rose, how he also reminds us of how the Rose Festival plays after any event that takes place. You know, over the years, the Rose Festival has survived been through a lot of things. We've heard about Mount St. Helens blowing up. In 1948, the Great Vanport Flood took place literally days before the Rose Festival. And rather than not have a parade, the festival leader said, we must go on and celebrate this and bring people together and then rally around those that were displaced from that event. In addition, this festival has endured 9 recessions that we can count, 2 Great Depressions, and it will endure much more ahead. But it also endured and went through 2 world wars. And I want to speak a little bit about World War II. In 1943, a woman by the name of Phyllis Huma of Adams High School served on the Rose Festival court. And she's here this morning, and I'd like to ask her to come forward. I'm going to talk a little bit about her experience, but I want her to come forward and greet you. This is a woman. We affectionately call her by the nickname of Foodie. She's 85 years young, and our staff got to know her during our centennial celebration of 2007. See, the relevance and the significance of her role was during World War II, the government didn't allow large outdoor events, including Mardi Gras and the Pasadena Tournament of Roses. Here in Portland, there was no Grand Floral Parade, but the Rose Festival Court still was out in the community doing great things. They were really inspiring our community to be positive, to greet soldiers, to visiting hospitals, and also raise money for war bonds at that time. Foodie was one of those chosen women. She and her fellow maritime princesses actually never had a chance to ride in the Grand Floral Parade because there was no parade. So in 2007, we invited her and 12 other princesses to come back and take their ride down the street so they could finally say thank you, and Portlanders could say thank you as well. And that float was generously sponsored by our friends, the Royal Rosarian. It was a very special moment. And again, Foodie's here just to say thank you to today's council as they move forward and we plan future festivals. And I want to thank Foodie for being with us, and thank you for...
Thank you. But it's a pleasure to be here. This is a new experience for me, but I think it's wonderful that they're going to do this. And I do have some photos if you'd like to see them at this time or when.
How about your place Friday night around 7 o'clock? We'll limit it to the first 100 people who show up at the potluck.
Well, I thought it would be interesting if you see them. I have one of 1940 when my oldest sister was on a float. The Pythian sisters. So, and I have a few others. So.
Well, if you could provide us, we can scan them and put them on the city's website.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for being here. You know, the Rose Festival is not just about names and notable names in a century of tradition and history. You know, every year we're making memories for new young people. They're experiencing it through their own eyes as they grow up and creating their own memories and magic as we move forward. It's Portland's place to play, Portland's place to celebrate. The Rose Festival provides that. So I want to take a moment to introduce and have 6-year-old Aisha Ross come up, one of our youngest fans, come up and say a few words to you. Aisha.
Hi, Aisha. How are you?
Good.
We're glad you're here. What do you want to say?
I used to be afraid of clowns, but now my daddy is Jumbo the Clown, and I get to be Curly the Clown for the Rose Festival Junior Parade. I love the Rose Festival.
Oh, good job.
Isn't that special?
Good job, Dad.
Good job. Thank you, Aisha. Thanks, Dad, for that. That's what it's about. As a parent, my kids are growing up around the Rose Festival, and that's very special. Aisha was referring to our popular program now in his third year, the Amtrak Cascades Character Clown Corps. It offers average people a chance to come out of their everyday life and be a clown. Many of them are with us today. And to talk about the relevancy of this is one of our newer programs. It's a little bit different and very Portland, and we're very proud to bring that forward. Finally, I'm going to wrap up with a chance to bring up a very special person to the Rose Festival. This gentleman is serving his second year as president of our foundation. He's a volunteer dedicating thousands of hours to this city and this community. In his day job, he is the director of finance for Icon Office Solutions, Mr. Robert Hansen. Robert.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Jeff. And good morning, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. On behalf of the board, staff, and volunteers of the Rose Festival, it's a real pleasure and honor for me to be representing the festival on this historic day. As Jeff mentioned, I'm now serving my second term as Rose Festival president, which is a change the foundation made last year to provide consistent leadership for our organization. We've made many other important modifications in recent history. 2 years ago, we changed from being the Portland Rose Festival Association to being the Portland Rose Festival Foundation. Recognized by the IRS as a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our events and programs are mission-based, and the Rose Festival's mission is to provide events and programs that reflect our values, including arts and education, youth history and patriotism, and of course, volunteerism. Jeff and Queen Rachel alluded to the changes we made last year on the Rose Festival Court program. That's just one example of the efforts we make to constantly adjust our programming to be relevant and meaningful. With our court program and our living history program led by our own Mayor Harry Lane and Georgiana Pittock, seated right behind me, we continue our emphasis on education. We continue our emphasis on education. With our fleet visits and our beloved Key Bank Grand Floral Parade, we emphasize patriotism as well as history and our floral heritage. In everything we do, we encourage and celebrate the joy and satisfaction of volunteering. Most of the people you see here today are volunteers of this Rose Festival, and they represent thousands of others. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Robert. Thank you, Robert, and the entire festival board for your work on behalf of the foundation and the festival. Now it's my chance to wrap things up, and from a personal level, this means a lot to me. I'm passionate, and I think you see that, about what we're doing. And it's a great honor to have my job today. I have one of the best jobs in Portland, but to be the executive director when you sit here and adopt the council, this as the official festival, from a personal perspective, it's very gratifying, and I thank you very, very much. And I thank you on behalf of the Rose Festival, its many donors, its corporate partners, many of them are with us today. We really appreciate, it takes a team to put on the Rose Festival. It takes great corporate support. It takes the citizens of our community to attend our events. It takes yourself and your leadership, and it takes our corporate partners. Speaking of corporate partners, I do want to make a special announcement today publicly that we just signed an agreement last night, and it was announced today that the Alaska Airlines Horizon Air become the official airline of the Rose Festival, and yet another core anchor sponsor joining PGE, Friends at Pacific Power, Fred Meyer, Key Bank, providing great support that's going to propel this festival forward. So it takes all of us to put it together, which is we just added another one last night, announced today. So we're very proud of that. You know, as we sit here today, we contemplate the future of the festival. What will be the new activities that will electrify our city? Well, we're working together to find those new activities. We're going to, at the same time, we're going to continue to balance keeping the festival relevant, keeping it contemporary while embracing those traditions that are beloved by our citizens. We're going to continue to partner with other nonprofits to fill out our calendar and keep it diverse and reflective of our community. In fact, in a few days, we're going to announce an exciting new event with a new nonprofit, a young silent film festival where young people would be movie makers with a chance to see their work on the big screen in the Hollywood District in June. We're going to announce that's going to be on our Youth Silent Film Festival will be on the 2010 Rose Festival calendar, and we're incredibly excited about that new venture here in 2010. You know, again, the festival looks bright. The future of this festival looks very bright, especially with your support. Much of that brightness and optimism comes to you and the spirit that I see with the council as well as our community. We're really, really excited about our partnership with the City of Portland as we move downtown in March to take possession of our wonderful new building on March the 19th. And as in keeping with that, we're going to play a short video and then turn it over to you. It's special. It's called This Is Home. It's about our home. It's about Portland, and it's about our new home. So I want to play that for you, and then we'll turn it over to you. Thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate Mayor Adams.
Thank you, Jeff. Look at that rose. That looks familiar.
I've got my memories always inside of me, but I can't go back to how it was. I believe now I've come too far. No, I can't go back.
So, Carla, we have two people signed up.
Yes, Linda Robinson and Gil Fry.
Oh, we'll pause for just a second.
Thank you.
How are you? Good to see you. Thank you. How are you? Good to see you again. These are beautiful. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for serving. Thank you for coming in today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Very nice to meet you. Really glad you were here. Linda and Gil.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a lifelong fan of the Rose Festival. I've lived in Portland all my life, and I grew up with the Rose Festival. Many fond memories for more than 60 years of your community building activities. So this is an important step that you're considering. But I'm also a member of the Portland Parks Board and a member of the Portland Parks Budget Review Committee. And my concern is that as you proceed, that this not become one of the few non-general fund revenues that the Park Bureau has is its park permit fees. And the Rose Festival has given a fee reduction over the years, and but they do need to have the permit fees come in from some source, if not from the Rose Festival, then from some other funding source the city has. So because this is used to repair the park after the festival is over, and it also is used for general maintenance support for the Park Bureau. So it's fair fee. It needs to be paid, and I'm hoping the city can find a source other than the Parks Bureau to take the burden of the expense.
So just to be clear, it's my intent in putting together the mayor's proposed budget that we minimize or eliminate all the fees to the Rose Festival from all the bureaus, just so you know. We'll have an opportunity to debate that further as part of the budget process.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda. Gil?
Thank you very much, Your Honor, and council folks. I'm Gil Fry, and my participation here is to communicate the fact that I was involved as a coordinator in the float of the year 2002, and this particular float was a world award-winning float. I don't think too many people know that, because actually what happens, so I understand, I don't know much about it, but people who have festivals have an annual meeting, and I think it's in Kansas City, and from all over the world, the people who run festivals and parades like this display their floats. And the float of 2002, which has already been mentioned, was called the Freedom Float. And on that float were veterans from here. And also they were the firemen and the policemen from New York City. And that particular float was the international award-winning float. And that is quite an accomplishment. You know, I don't know how many times that would happen, that the float from here would win the international award-winning thing. So I think that's just absolutely fantastic. I want to mention that I am having tomorrow a celebration of 50 years of this parade coming out of the Coliseum. And it's 50 years for the Coliseum, and it's 50 years for the Lloyd Center. And I was involved in the early days of the Lloyd Center promoting the company. So I was out, and I had a staff of people who were out promoting the Lloyd Center for a number of years. And it's an enthusiastic thing, the facility that we have there. And at any rate, we will be celebrating the Blazers, the Coliseum, the Lloyd Center, and the Rose Festival tomorrow. And I have an invitation here. Anyone that wants one, I'll be happy to give it to them.
Thank you, Gil. Thank you both very much. Appreciate it. Thanks. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Well, this is wonderful, and I'm very happy to support making the Rose Festival the official festival of Portland, Oregon. Since I've been in office, which is just a year now, I've become even more of a fan of the commission form of government than I was before. And Commissioner Leonard took me down to the new home of the Rose Festival at McColl's Park, and I asked him, have we ever recognized the Rose Festival as the official festival? And he said no, and took the concept and ran with it, and here we are today.
Ah. All right.
I think it's worth emphasizing that the festival is an economic engine for our city, that it brings in $50 million every year, 200 million visitors. I had the honor to lead the Grand Floral Walk last year, which, if you're not familiar with, this was another new concept where before the Grand Floral Parade, anybody who wants to can walk the entire course as a fitness and a Portlandish thing. And so I got to help lead that. And when I was running for office, I had a sign that said, "Hi, I'm Amanda," just to let people know who I was. And so after I got elected, I added to it, and I have another little sign that says, "Your City Commissioner." And so I'm walking around the Rose Festival Parade, and everybody says, "Hi, Amanda." And, "Hi, it's really great fun," as you, those of you who've been in it know, and the Rosarians also are a great part of our city. And but somebody yelled out at me, "You're not my commissioner. I live in Beaverton." I said, "You're here in Portland today. I am your commissioner." And this is our parade. So I welcome the expansion of the Rose Court. One of the things I particularly cherish about the Rose Festival is the court and the fact that it showcases our wonderful young people from all of our Portland high schools and now the Metro high schools also, that we have great schools which are doing great things and producing astonishing young women who are doing wonderful things. And so I particularly enjoy that. I also got to march in the parade with the Salvation Army Band, and another time on the with the float for the 30th anniversary of neighborhood associations. So there's all kinds of different interests that come into the Rose Festival. The Royal Rosarians are here accompanying our Queen and being present. They're a different organization, and that's another thing we should look to celebrate, and I appreciate them working on that. This is a wonderful festival, and part of one of my thoughts in recognizing it as the official festival is saying that this is different from all of the other events that happen at Waterfront Park and around our city. And I'm glad to hear the mayor saying that we are going to be looking into how to provide support. I'm very happy to work with the mayor's office, with the Parks Commissioner, with Office of Management and Finance to look at some alternate funding mechanisms. Everybody in the city benefits from this parade, and so there should be equitable ways to make sure that we provide the appropriate level of support and also recognize how much support comes in from volunteers and for the work that you all do. So thank you very much for being here today, and I'm very happy to vote aye.
Fish.
Well, one of the great pleasures of my new job is I get to meet with Jeff Curtis from time to time to talk about his vision for the Rose Festival and for a Rose Festival for the 21st century. And I'm I'm convinced based on those meetings that we have the right person for the job leading this organization. So, Jeff, congratulations on your work, your leadership. It's an honor to have so many of our other leaders here, the president of the Rose Festival, who I don't know how he manages his daytime job. Thank you, sir. Governor Attia, it's an honor, as always, to have you here. To Dick Clark, Jeff's very esteemed predecessor, to board members, to Rosarians. I want to say a word about Queen Rachel. My daughter actually goes to a rival school, so I have to be careful. But when I had a chance just to visit with her, I asked her in passing, and it was a foolish question, I asked her whether she was participating in the We the People program, the Citizen and the Constitution that kicks off regional competitions tonight to figure out who will represent the state of Oregon and Washington down the road. Well, of course, her answer was she is participating. So she's going from this event tonight to representing Grant in our most prestigious competition around debating the Constitution. And if history is any guide, it is not unlikely that Grant will represent the state of Oregon again. And I'm sure with her on the team, they have a heck of a chance. So I just want to acknowledge that and congratulate you. Since a number of you had some memories about the Rose Festival, my memories, as someone who's only lived in this state for 13 years, but has been welcomed as one of you mentioned, as a kind of a new rose and given the chance to chart my course. I just want to acknowledge three different parades that touched my family very greatly. 9/11 was mentioned, and the only time I've actually been a participant in a Rose Festival parade was when an invitation was extended to the Flight for Freedom to stand on a float right in the parade that followed 9/11. So all the Oregonians that went back to New York were asked to join a float, and I will never forget that experience and the honor of joining fellow Oregonians in that. And also, my favorite event is the Starlight Parade. Probably it's a favorite event of a lot of my friends and colleagues. And there were two parades in particular that I will not forget, and my colleagues are tired of hearing this particular broken record part of my life, but they were the evening that you honored the national championship women's team from UP that won a national championship in soccer. And perhaps even more poignant was the night that you honored Clive Charles, who was dying of cancer, and his last public event was being honored by the Rose Festival. Those were amazing events. Today would not happen without the leadership of others. And it starts with a mayor that has been passionate about making this event a city event. Commissioner Leonard, who, as you've probably learned, Jeff, is kind of a bulldog when he gets a hold of an idea. I don't know if you've noticed that.